Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Today, we distribute funds, the undesignated dollars that our donors give us to the community, and that's spread across Escambia and Santa Rosa County. What we were finding is that some of the smaller grassroots nonprofits were struggling to make it through that process. And sometimes it started out with just not having some of the foundational pieces in place. There were a variety of reasons for that.
This is Laura Gilliam. She is the executive director of United Way. What is their official? United Way West Florida, I think. One time it was a little bit different, but they changed names and kind of Santa Rosa got incorporated into Escambia County, which makes sense for our area. But anyway, this is at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, and it was kind of an interesting series of comments, because what she was explaining is how, as long as she's been here, and I think it's now 6 years, that she's wanted to do something with these organizations who are not the sort of big, well-organized charities, but they're more of like startup-size charities that have potential to do a lot of good things, but don't really have all of the pieces in place to make it through their grants writing process, or, you know, to sort of be eligible for stuff. And she wanted to do something to help them.
I've been here for nearly 6 years. We've had conversations probably shortly after I got here about what we as an organization could do to support those smaller nonprofits. You know, we have a process in place. We have guidelines that have to be followed, but we also know that these organizations are doing great work.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't change the process in order to accommodate the applicant type exactly, but you want to be able to do something to help them. And so what she did is they came up with this kind of concept of a mini grant funding.
Our Community Investment Committee has for the last probably year or so been working through what a mini grant process would look like. So, you know, is there a way that we could distribute funds, a certain dollar amount, to an organization that might be struggling or might not quite have everything in place to access funding to help them get to that level?
And so you're talking about relatively small dollar amount and for relatively small overall revenue amount charities.
The grants will be up to $5,000. So it could be less than that, but it'll max out at $5,000. And it's going to be to agencies that have revenue under $250,000. So again, a smaller organization.
And they have to serve Escambia and Santa Rosa County in the areas that United Way funds?
They do have to have some basics in place. So they have to be a nonprofit. Their focus has to be in financial stability, health, and education, which are our three areas. They have to serve Escambia and or Santa Rosa counties.
Now, when I first heard her talking about this, I didn't quite grasp what the program was going to do. It seemed to me like, you know how Impact 100 does these $100,000 grants, you know, these fairly sizable grants to, you know, organizations that are doing big things. And then you have like Gulf Breeze Will Do, which does much smaller grants in the up to $10,000, up to $5,000. I actually asked Lisa Newell about this the other day, and then I completely forgot what she told me. But it was something in that vicinity, relatively small. This is me quick doing show prep on my own phone, looking up my text thread with her. She said, let's see. It was up to $10,000. I had it right. Up to $10,000. There were about $100,000 in applications that went underfunded due to lack of membership and will do. So they had more people applying than they had the ability to give out. And my first thought was, it felt like United Way was getting into the will do space. is what it felt like at first.
Right.
But then I realized that's not what this is about. This is actually a really cool program because she made a comment that, again, I didn't quite place, that these folks will never spend the money on themselves, like on their organization and their people. Instead, they're always putting it to do services, right? To pay for distributing food or clothes or whatever that they do. And she says, you know, they need training. They need to be taught. They need to get that kind of developmental capability because...
But then they can turn around and use that funding for capacity building. They can use it for professional development, for accounting services, for training, for their board, their staff, for a one-time program or project fee or consulting fees. And again, you can talk to any nonprofit, especially smaller one, and they're going to tell you they don't spend their money on that, which is understandable, but oftentimes that's exactly what they need, is help just kind of raising the bar and setting that foundation.
So you're the board or the executive director of a relatively small charity, right? Again, you know, under $250,000 a year. And you're just getting started or just kind of beginning to do, or they've been around for a year or two or something like this. And when money comes in, you feel such an obligation to the people who give it that you want to send it right back out the door to services. Makes perfect sense. You want, your heart is in that. And also there's this perception like you don't want to be perceived as an organization that doesn't spend the money on the problem. And like on yourself, so to speak, because there's always this fear in the public, in the nonprofit world, that you're perceived as spending money on, you know, like salaries, you know, management, and it doesn't really go to affect change. But what she's saying is there's something in between the two, okay? Something that is professional development, something that is capacity building, something that is taking people who are able to operate at a $200,000 a year level and teaching them the skills that they need in order to be able to operate at a $500,000 a year capacity or $1 million a year capacity. Capacity building. Like if you've got nonprofits that are like fledglings, basically, and you'd like to be able to grow them into really effective players in the nonprofit space, United Way is saying, this is a way for us to cultivate more ability to do more good in our local area by micro grants that target exactly that slice of the problem, something that these smaller entities don't tend to think of as important or vital or priority, but which they, you know, United Way says, no, this is really a good idea. This is the kind of stuff like, you know, if you're a small business, you might not think to, you know, go take a weekend seminar on how to build your business, but that could be the most valuable thing you ever do. And she's thinking of that in terms of nonprofit. So I love this idea.
And our goal is to help them get to that point where they're going to be sustainable, where they're going to be around for a while, you know, where they are more competitive for other funding.
Yeah, and it's kind of like how you never want to spend money on a new salary at, like, say, the city of Pensacola, okay, or Milton. But what if that salary is to hire a grants writer who then brings in 20 times their salary in grants next year, right? Well, same thing here. What if you've got a nonprofit that's working in a relatively unique space and they have the ability on their own to raise $140,000 a year? And what if you can show them, or you can fund the opportunity for them to learn, like they go to a grants writing seminar and they learn how to write grants that brings their capacity up to $400,000 a year? Well, they can do, you know, three times as much good because you invested a couple of maybe $100 or even $1,000 in them going to a seminar that they otherwise wouldn't be willing to spend the money on. So I think this is a great idea, and I love that United Way of West Florida is doing this. So anyway, I thought that was a fascinating thing that I had never heard of before, and when she spoke at Santa Rosa County Commission last week, I just wanted to share it with you. 519 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Navarre is getting some rain this morning. Everybody else got a little bit of rain. You know, everybody else is like, look, the sky cried again.
Finally.
Yeah, I know. It's been so long. And so, yay. I don't know if you got enough to not continue watering your lawn or anything, no. But you know, you definitely got a little bit of water. And like I said, Navarre's getting it a little bit heavier than everybody else this morning. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number.
Don't miss our Labor Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Labor Day.
It's not too late.
Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free.
That's right, loan-free.
PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, maybe you're all correct, you know. Men are the enemy.
No, they're not the enemy.
But I still love the enemy.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
And that's why she created him. See, you gotta have that attitude or else, you know, you won't get the speech, you won't get the you had me at hello.
Yeah, that's right, just give yourself to whoever, even if they don't deserve you or whatever.
That is not the message of that, well, maybe it is.
Okay. The message of Greece is worse.
Well,
change yourself for a dude. Get loose. What?
But she wound up happy and sexy at the end, didn't she?
And going to heaven in a car with John Travolta. So I guess she has.
22, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm
Best
Andrew McKay.
Ever.
That's Candy.
Hey, I'm Candy.
David Wayne is in our newsroom with the headlines. David?
It's expected to be a busy travel weekend. The TSA bracing for a lot of travelers in airports through Wednesday. Today projected to be the busiest of the travel days.
Bracing like Jim Cantore?
Oh, yeah, bracing. Like the hurricane winds are coming through, about to knock them down.
Have you seen the old video? I actually don't know. I don't think it's current. I think it's old, of Jim Cantore and his like halfway horse stance, like just bracing against the wind, and then like a fire guy comes along and does a cartwheel behind him.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right when I first moved here, I remember watching live. It was like a tropical storm, or maybe it was the one that hit in New Orleans or something last year. But I remember watching one of those live, and like it wasn't Jim Cantore, but whoever it was, they were doing that, you know, that stance to really look like
I'm here in the big wind. I can barely keep my feet under me.
And then two people just walk right past him, like behind him, looking. What are you doing?
You know, we were kind of chatting about this a little bit yesterday. That, you know, we try really hard. I try really hard. No, you do the same. To, you know, not over dramatize anything,
right?
In any slice of the news, and particularly about storms. And you know, somebody texted in and said, "Well, this is why we like you, but this is why we really hate a lot of the TV coverage, because it's, you know, go find me the windiest clothes rippling scene that you can make, and, you know, pretend that it's doing really, and, you know, and then you pan out and you're like, oh, they're still serving burgers at the you know, the shack across the street.
Yeah, it's all about whatever shot'll you know,
hate
give
that.
You the,
I do.
The dramatization
I hate
of it.
And even
they
like
to whip everybody into a panic for ratings.
Yeah,
they do. That's their job.
And even
we're not.
Look, this was a bad storm for a lot of people, no doubt. But as we said, it was a lot. It's a lot that didn't happen, and a lot of, you know, even though the surge was high, it seems to have not. It's done billions of dollars of damage. Okay, but everybody is saying that it's, you know, not as bad as it could have been. Dodged a bullet. Rural areas, you know, the reinsurance rate is not going to be as bad as it could have been. But if you watch some of the coverage, you know, like I happen to know how many homes got destroyed in certain areas, and you see the TV shot is like that one home. And you see that the TV shot is not panning. You know?
Right.
It's not going and showing you the rest of the neighborhood that's still intact. And I'm like, come on now. You know, just... Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, David. My soapbox. I apologize.
Well, on that that note, President Biden will be visiting Florida today or throughout the next few days to view the damage to the state. Tomorrow, he'll be traveling to Florida tomorrow. And Donald Trump's election trial in Georgia is going to be live streamed on YouTube. The judge presiding over the trial made that ruling yesterday. Apparently, their court actually has a YouTube channel.
Nice.
They're
going
to live stream it all on there. So I guess it's
why
all.
Why shouldn't court proceedings be on TV? I mean, they're open to the public.
Well, that's true. I guess the question
I think
is
the only
court
ones
monetizing this is the real question.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I wonder. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you go to click on certain governmental YouTube channels, there's ads.
Yeah. And if
not in the meeting typically, but
you're
beforehand.
Right, like YouTube, yeah.
If there are ads and it is monetized, and the money, how much money are they going to make off of that?
Right. Yeah, tons.
Maybe enough to enhance security for the death threats.
And
can we
voice it?
Okay. How can we get a slice of that cash? Oh my God, I don't typically watch trials, but you know. Might watch a little.
Yeah, I think the world's going to be watching
That's
this
right.
one. Yeah.
Might watch just a little. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 526 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this was just a kind of a fascinating story that I saw yesterday. So you know that President Biden is older than most presidents have been.
Or people.
And he has been having some, you know, physicality issues, let me put it that way. Particularly his nemesis is the stairs up to Air Force One.
There it is.
And I don't know what the current status of the tripometer is in terms of how many we've clicked for him, but it's a lot. So guess what the solution is? He's not using the big white stairs to the front entrance of the plane anymore. There's a belly entrance to Air Force One.
Oh, and he just walks in the belly?
And he's walking in the belly entrance. It's a little set of fold downstairs like you think of.
Like on Fat Albert.
Yeah, you think of planes that are closer to the ground. You know, you just kind of open up the stairs. And, well, there's stairs like that that you can go right into the belly of the plane. And now he's using those because, A, they don't wiggle as much. The big stairs are a little wiggly. And, B, because there are fewer stairs for him to fumble on. It just is. So this is kind of an interesting thing because I was reading some of the history of this. There was a pretty good article about it that, other presidents have used the belly stairs instead of the big white ceremonial, you know, give them the money shot of the president coming out kind of thing. And it typically historically has had to do more with things like security. For example, traveling overseas to war zones, a lot of times they will not bring the big stairs because they actually fly on a separate, like they send a plane over with the tall stairs and then they send Air Force One. Well, if you're going to a war zone like Iraq or Afghanistan and you're making a secret trip, you know, that nobody knows about, you don't want to send over the Secret Service with the stairs a day before because people will be like, oh, well, the president's coming. So it's very common for folks, you know, like President George W. Bush used the short stairs sometimes, like, after 9/11 because of, again, security concerns. Former President Trump used them more than Obama did, who didn't use them all that often. But he did use them occasionally. And in fact, they were used so rarely under Obama that when the tall stairs weren't in place, when he landed in China in 2016 for a G20 summit, there's kind of like a big problem. Like it's a big deal. The short stairs have always been an alternative that they use for certain limited circumstances. They're just using them now because, you know, Biden can't walk properly anymore as well. Which, okay, on the one hand, as a critic of the president and his capacity, to me, that's sort of a admission of the problem, right? But it's admitting what we already know. On the other hand, as a guy who's an American and wants to see his president stay healthy and not hurt himself, you know, if he needs to use a walker to go out to the helicopter, use a walker. I mean, you know, he's still the president. And if he needs to use the short stairs to go up on Air Force One, use the short stairs. I mean, that's just common sense. Don't put yourself at a physical risk. I mean, you know, trip once, shame on me. Trip three times, shame on the planners. You know, so I'm actually on board with this. Sorry for the metaphor. This makes sense to me, and I don't know how much people are going to pick up on it or, you know, use it as evidence of his unfitness. It's certainly admitting to the physical challenges he has, which, you know, physical challenges don't necessarily mean anything about your capacity to rule. You can have a separate opinion about that. FDR was in a wheelchair. It didn't mean he couldn't be a good president, right? So anyway, just there's a lot to this, but I thought it was fascinating reading about the difference in decision-making historically between the big ceremonial stairs that are actually a separate thing you have to fly to location or the belly stairs that President Biden is going to be using from now on. By the way, him using a walker, that's just me using an illustration. He's not actually using a walker to get out to Marine One. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
Police in Foley investigating a suspicious death.
News. I'm Paul Stevens. Former President Trump pleading not guilty in the Georgia election interference case.
From here, we actually get to litigate the case, which as an attorney, I look forward to. I know our legal team does as well, to getting to take our own turn at looking at all of the information and our own turn to put our side out, which is something that everybody needs to remember. It has not happened as of yet.
Trump legal spokesperson Alina Habba on Fox. More reaction to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's latest freezing episode in front of reporters.
Right now, the Senate is the most privileged nursing home in the country. I mean, you know, Mitch McConnell has done some great things and he deserves credit, but you have to know when to leave. That is why I'm strongly in support of term limits in this country.
GOP presidential candidate Nikki Haley on Fox. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is partly cloudy and 78 degrees here in Pensacola. The Big Bend area dealing with what the governor is calling significant storm damage from Hurricane Idalia. Governor DeSantis said yesterday he's now requested the federal government issue a major disaster declaration for all counties that were under a hurricane warning before the storm hit. About 90,000 people in the area are still without power. Idalia made landfall Wednesday in Taylor County. We are learning more about an investigation into a suspicious death in Foley earlier this week. Investigators in Baldwin County say they're trying to locate the daughter of a 69-year-old woman that was stabbed to death at the Town and Country Motel on McKenzie Street. Baldwin County deputies say the victim, who was identified as Shirley Smith, was living at the motel with her 36-year-old daughter, Katie Smith. The daughter had reportedly been seen at the hotel in the days leading up to the woman's body being found, but were not there when police were called to that motel. Foley police did release a photo of the woman, and that is posted on the News Radio website. If you have any information on her location, contact the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Well, we learned this week the city of Pensacola is in line for grant funding that'll pay for a new mobile command center for the Pensacola Police Department. PPD officials tell News Radio it's definitely a needed upgrade.
The command, the center that we utilize now, you know, it's not up to date. It's, you know, we're outgrowing it. And this one is you know, going to be up to date with the newest technology. It's going to have slide outs, working stations.
That's PPD spokesperson Brittany Sturgeon, and she says the new command center will also be available to other agencies when they need it, such as the Pensacola Fire Department. And she says that PPD likely won't have that new command center until sometime next year. Also, in another update, she says that the new armored SWAT vehicle has been ordered, and they're expecting to receive that sometime this year. The couple charged in that fatal incident at the Mugs and Jugs bar just over a week ago now both pled not guilty. 25-year-old Christian Ketchup and 23-year-old Rachel DeRise were both in court this week. Ketchup is charged with murder for allegedly shooting Tierra Binion multiple times after she got into a fight with DeRise. Both Ketchup and DeRise requested a jury trial. They'll both be back in court later this month. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. High chance of rain through the morning and afternoon. Rain chance sitting at about 90%, 89 for your high today. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. Rain chance is possible through the overnight hours. Saturday, 90% chance of rain with a high near 85. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got partly cloudy skies, 78 in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Don't miss Sibling Harmony Trio, Girl Named Tom, live at the Pensacola Sanger Theater on Friday, September 15th. Experience the familial harmonies and heartfelt performances of the first ever trio to win NBC's The Voice on September the 15th. Reserved seat tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
My giant electric slide whistle. 5:37 here on... it's not what that is. Yesterday, we had a really good opportunity to talk to Eric Gilmore, who is the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County, who is embedded in the EOC in... And I'm going to say this on purpose. You'll understand why in a second. One of the counties in Central Florida that was directly affected. And we'll get into that conversation here in just a second. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me. And by the way, since I've been here, you and I thought it was pronounced Lafayette. It is not. It's Lafette.
Stop it.
We've been saying it wrong.
Dude, come on. Lafette?
That's what the locals tell me, Lafette.
This is gonna be like saying DeSantis on the air, which is correct, but everybody will think you don't know what you're talking about.
Do you think they're messing with you?
Is what? That possible?
I hope not. Lafette. I don't know. I hope not. There's someone to be messed with right now.
I can't even. Okay, fine though. But fine. Lafette County. You heard it here first. Wow. Okay. So I'm gonna ask you, but kind of when I've been surveying this from a distance, it seems like dodged a bullet kind of stuff. Like, for the people who lost their homes, it's horrible, but it doesn't seem like there were that many. It's a rural area. It's distance from the water, the surge. You know, it looks, and nobody died, which, thank God, except for in some semi-unconnected traffic accidents. I'm assuming it's horrible for them, though, because they don't have experience at this, but I've been kind of describing it as could have been a lot worse, not like Ian last year. Am I wrong?
No, it could have been a lot worse. It really could have. You've got to, like you said, these are real rural counties, okay? So you know, there's limited resources to begin with, and now that the power's out and roads are blocked and cut off, there's really nothing for them here now. So, but yeah, these people have, you know, talking to the residents here, we're opening a pod today. I mean, we're less than 24 hours from landfall, and we opened a pod this morning with food, ice, MREs, tarps, and they've never had a pod here. So what? We're having to explain and train what a pod is, how the citizens should, you know, we're training the citizens how to run through a pod, what a pod does, and the locals how to do a pod. We're teaching burn rates. So we're doing a lot of training on how to set these things up and how these things should be managed. So, but like I said, they're shell-shocked because, I mean, they never had a storm this magnitude. If everybody will kind of, you know, Ivan impacted us real way. You know, Ivan was our shell shock. I mean, we kind of deforested places, tore a lot of stuff up. There's some structural damage here, but it is, you know, it's not a densely populated area. And then on top of it, the county that we're in, Lafayette County, they have one municipal water service in the town of Mayo, services maybe 5 to 10 square miles. And then the rest of the unincorporated county is on their own wells. So okay. I got no power. I've got no water. So that's the issue. So power coming up is kind of paramount to getting things back to full recovery here.
Wow. You know, I didn't really know much about the geography or the structures in that vicinity, but, you know, I was looking at, was it Steen Camps? What's the one place? And then also down the way at the Cedar Key. Cedar Key looked to me like it was not built up and like they would be much more vulnerable. I know that's not exactly where you are, but have you heard anything about there?
Yeah, they did get inundated with water. I think they got around 5 to 6 feet of water inundation there. They was anticipating more, but Steinhatchee is the one I think you was referencing.
Yeah, Steinhatchee, that's right.
Steinhatchee south of us. We was actually, they had a webcam up and we was watching the surge come in, and some of the buildings that the locals here knew about, he was telling me where the water line was. That was up 12 feet at that moment. And I went that roof line before the camera went out. So they really got hammered with storm surge down there at Steinhatchee. You know, it's the Big Bend area. It's a cul-de-sac. You know, we're on the Gulf Coast where it can kind of spread out across the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
It just pockets and corners right there and builds. So the rain wasn't a big event. I mean, we got 2 inches of rain out of the whole thing. So wind was the big thing here where we're at. We're not a coastal county. So storm surge wasn't that, you know, didn't impact us at all. So we're dealing with, you know, the trees, the power lines, roofs missing. I mean, after Ivan, you think about, took us a while to get recovered, but all the new roofs that got put on, all the new type construction, the new codes, and new enforcement. And if you've never been impacted, you've got all these old structures and these old roofs, and they go fine. So.
Yeah, which is kind of the point, because they had never encountered anything like this, so they were completely unprepared for it. I know the governor had made the comment that one of the things is that it seemed like a lot of people obeyed the evacuation order, given that people hadn't had experience with this and didn't really know what to do, and it might have been the first time in their lives they were told to prepare for 7 days or anything, you know, like that. Was that what you guys saw on the ground? Is that a lot of people evacuated?
We have noticed that a lot of people have evacuated. The county that we're in and we're helping out is so small, they did not even have a shelter that was rated for the wind speed that we was anticipating.
Wow.
So the residents here had to go to a neighboring county to shelter out of harm's way. We don't know how many of our residents here went to Suwannee County, but we're trying to get that head count today to get an understanding of how many people might be coming back to the county. We have heard that some residents took it serious. Unfortunately, what we're hearing is they took it serious at the last moment. I mean, it was like up until yesterday morning, early yesterday morning, people calling the EMC here, should I evacuate? That morning of impact. So, I mean, we're starting to see tropical storm force winds, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I guess one part of the good news here is at least they had a sturdy EOC. You know, if they didn't have everything else, at least they had that, right?
The EOC stood up well. It lost a couple of shingles or covered our vehicles, but I mean, other than that, the EOC it stood up. Lost a couple of shingles. The generator's rocking, so we're on generator power. It's everything's working like it should right now, and we got a lot of resources coming in. So today is you know, we're cat herding. We're taking those resources, we're cat herding, and we're trying to make sure that we're managing the resources appropriately and get them to the areas that are absolutely needed.
I think it seems like one of the genius things, I don't know who came up with it, whether it was our emergency director for the state of Florida or whatever, Kevin Guthrie, but, I mean, it seems like the genius move was sending you guys in because you know how to do this, have done it, have overseen it, have the experience. Are you getting the support you need? Are you getting the cooperation you need? Is it working as well as it can work?
Oh, absolutely. No, it absolutely is. And understanding their level here local, their understanding of emergency management and how these things work. We do, you know, when Tallahassee asked us to go, we said, no problem. We'll be happy to go. I mean, we've got experience, right?
Yeah.
We've done this before. And being downrange, it seems like every time I pick that phone up or I make a call, I mean, think about it. We are opening a pod up here in the middle of nowhere, less than 24 hours from landfall.
That's amazing.
How crazy is that? I mean, that's a lot of commodity. We've got, you know, like I said, we're tarp reeds, and we're distributing to two remote locations with the National Guard. I had 150 National Guardsmen here yesterday to help out. So, no, Tallahassee has been like, what do you need? And they're getting it to me in a timely manner. And I told him, I said, if Escambia County knock on whatever gets sent back again, I better get this type of service. So anyway.
Ode. Definitely owed. Well, anything else?
Absolutely.
Anything else that I didn't ask you? Is this the kind of situation where people are going to, you know, need to give? Is this going to be like a lot of volunteers coming in after the first wave of official response? You know, what are we looking at long range here? We've got about 30 seconds, Eric.
No, absolutely. So recovery, long range, will be cleanup. A lot of homes, a lot of people who are unfortunately not able to go clean their homes up, get a tree off the roof or something like that. So volunteering. So if you want to volunteer, come down, get with a civic group or get with a Baptist charity or one of those charities that come in and do that type of work. Good. And organize to the local EOC. That way we can put you on a mission. Hey, I did want to plug one thing for you. I have Tom Colbridge here from Santa Rosa County.
Yeah.
So he's been great with Travis and myself. So we got Santa Rosa representation here. And we had two Santa Rosa dispatchers come in this morning to help us out with dispatching. And then the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is actually here as well. And then Escambia Fire Rescue, they deployed this morning. They're in Madison County doing search and rescue in Madison County.
So you're the best, Eric. Thank you for the time, brother. So much. Yeah, so much good information in that. And that is, it's almost unfathomable to consider. You've got a county in Florida where they've never seen a point of distribution, a pod, before. Just think about that.
That's crazy?
I mean,
sure.
Good for them.
Yeah.
You know, lucky for them, right? So,
wow,
that is just amazing. And fantastic work being done by Escambia and Santa Rosa and by the Sheriff's Office. And, I mean, you know, by the Escambia River Electric Cooperative. I mean, there's all kinds of people that are down there helping. And we certainly admire them for doing that. 547 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, what had been, you know, 420,000 homes out of power, what had been about 600, they had restored, as of yesterday, power to about 420,000. So they've gotten it down to the 100,000 vicinity that were without power within 24 hours. That's pretty impressive.
That is very impressive.
You know, if you throw 30,000 linemen at the problem, you'll fix it. And that's good. I mean, that shows the preparation that was done by the governor and the emergency director, Kevin Guthrie. And, you know, I'm sure those people will appreciate it all the more. 547 on News Radio 92.3. We've got a relatively new advertiser, by which I mean within the last couple of weeks to the show. It's ProHealth Florida. And they're just wonderful company, locally owned, female owned, Pensacola operating for 35 years, 7 locations, best of the Bay, winner best of the Coast, winner best of Pensacola, of course. They're in Gulf Breeze next to the Whataburger. They're in Santa Rosa Beach, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton. There's 2 locations in Pensacola, one on Summit and one on College Parkway right by the Sam's Club. And they offer all the medical services, you know, walk-ins from 8 to 4 in Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, and Fort Walton. Saturday, 8 to 1 at the Sam's Club location next in Pensacola. They'll do lab work. They'll do occupational health screens. By the way, that's emergency care or just regular care, right? Primary or urgent care. Drug screens, employee physicals, on-site, after hours, you know, they'll come to you, do breathalyzers, vaccinations, all of that kind of stuff. Comprehensive medical weight loss program. And one of the key things about them is if you don't have insurance, Like, if you don't have insurance, they're the place to go. But they have, actually, they're kind of in-house medical membership. It's $45 a month. It gives you unlimited primary care visits with zero copay. You get a 24/7 teledoc, an annual physical, and a flu shot. And you get a discount 25% on procedures and lab work if you're a member. And there's no catches. Just, you know, find out what that would mean for you if that's the kind of thing that appeals to you or, you know, makes sense to you. Then either go buy or check them out online at prohealthfl.com.
Today at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Deep climbing.
Daniels four-man rush, and first got him again. Bounces to the outside of the five. He's in. Touchdown, FSU.
The season kicks off from Orlando on Sunday, September 3rd against the LSU Tigers. Kickoff is set for 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, with pregame coverage starting at 5 Eastern, 4 Central, right here on your home for Florida State football.
FSU versus LSU, Sunday at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Just because we're holding hands doesn't mean we're going to take warm showers till the wee hours of the morning. You hear me?
Maybe that's the only time in history that anybody has ever paired Gunny Sergeant, Heartbreak Ridge from with Clint Eastwood with Technotronic.
I believe that is accurate, yes.
Which, by the way, I the other day I was listening to the Technotronic album, you know, that has...
They have more songs?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
They are all very similar sounding.
Not stray in stylings, for sure. Yeah.
You know, it sort of feels like you could mix and match any of those songs with any of the other songs, and you probably wouldn't even notice.
That's true.
And that's coming from a guy who owns the album, I'll say it. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative local music criticism here sometimes. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
United Auto Workers President Sean Fain says he's not optimistic about contract talks with Detroit automakers. He said that their union's goal isn't to strike, but of course they say they want a fair contract. But they're ready to strike to win, quote, economic and social justice. The author of a children's book that's accused of poisoning her husband will be in court today. Utah writer Corey Richens is facing a first-degree charge of aggravated murder for killing her husband by serving him a cocktail laced with fentanyl. She could face up to 25 years in prison. And apparently the Pentagon has launched a new website. I don't know if you visited this one or not. It is a clearinghouse for declassified information on UFOs. They're calling it a one-stop shop for all publicly available records on UAPs and UFOs. The website is aaro.mil.
AARO as opposed to AARP. It's one letter off of the old people website.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to type it in wrong.
Or do you?
AARO. But it's .mil, yeah. You said, right?
If you use them both,
right,
you get
it's Cocoon.
Dot
mil. Dot M-I-L.
That's right. You get Cocoon, you get aliens and old people.
That's
all
right.
Yeah, see, nice rubs forever.
Yeah, thank
nice
you. Reference.
You go to AARO, then you go to AARP, you
that's
get your
right.
early bird discount, you're all good to go.
Let's all eat at four. Actually,
for
I
the
do
early
that now.
UAP discount. Yeah. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. So this is just a. Yeah, so. In a slightly different context, because this is kind of where I thought you were going at first. I don't know why, but you know how these some of these video games, these military simulation games, are so hyper realistic
because they're
based on as close to the actual technical data of these planes as you can, planes and tanks and ships as you can get. Well, War Thunder has had another of the leaks. You know where people get into. There's a couple of reasons this happens. People get into an argument with somebody else on the discussion boards. And person A is trying to prove to person B that, no, the F-16 actually behaves this way. And then they'll, like, publish the classified document that proves their point. Like, that's how bad. This
really?
Has happened a couple of times with War Thunder. It's happened again with War Thunder. And it is about the F-16. It's not the F-16. It was the Tornado. And it was to basically say, you know, the way you guys have this behaving isn't quite right. And it's not doing as good as the plane that I fly in real life. Actually performs, so I want the plane to live up to reality. Here's the specs. It turns out that apparently the specs published are maybe not classified. There's a public document that they traced to, so it's maybe not. I just find it fascinating that these people get so into the game that they will blow right past the whole like secret documents, don't facilitate the Chinese, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
In order to prove their point. Of course, the joke in the forums is basically, why would the Chinese government need to invest in spies? All they need is people to monitor the War Thunder forums.
Well, so. it's crazy how realistic the games are anymore, though.
Yeah.
That's and not just the war, like the flight simulator and all that stuff. It's so realistic. It's insane.
I mean, everything from how many G's the plane can handle and it'll rip a wing off if you pull too far, that kind of stuff. And my oldest son loves to play War Thunder, and he's always telling me, they're actually adding cockpit warning sounds coming soon. You know, the missile, 6 o'clock, you know, that kind of thing. Or warning, altitude, you know, that's going to be added. And he's so excited because that's even more authentic. But man, sometimes you just got to step back and say, it's a game. I probably shouldn't lose my national security clearance and go to prison for this. Probably ought to just pull back at the moment. Yes?
Yeah, no, it sounds like a road rage thing. I probably shouldn't be following this lady at a high speed that gave me the finger.
Right,
you know,
right,
it's not
right,
a great
you know?
Idea, but...
Take a breath,
but you can't
back,
help yourself in the moment when you're arguing.
Yeah, when you're so into it. 437-1620. So, I came across this the other day. My wife was actually the one that pointed this out to me because she loves it. There's a daily email, news email out there called The Skim. I don't particularly like it, but she loves it, you know, and sometimes it's got stories that I haven't seen anywhere else. This was one. They were promoting, I'm not going to say the name because there's actually more than one and I don't want to be advertising for any of this, but it was the name of a web service or an app for people who have STDs to find other people who have STDs for, you know, meetups.
That's a great idea.
Which, when you first think of it, it seems like Bobby Rossi's old Signs of the Apocalypse. You know, like we're having dating apps for, you know, so all the herpes positive people can get together with all the other herpes
right,
positive.
So they don't
or the
spread
HIV
it.
Or the, you know.
Right, so they don't spread it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but still in the category of, but we're promoting casual sex. Like that's kind of the, you know, anyway.
We are.
But there's all kinds of them. This isn't new. This has been around for quite some time because... This number will freak you out. According to some assessments, as many as 100 million people are infected with an STD in the United States.
How many?
100 million. One in three, one in four, somewhere in that vicinity. So, it's medically believed that maybe half of sexually active people get an STD at some point in their life. So, not necessarily currently, but at some point. And of course... Once you go down this rabbit hole of thinking about, you know, people who are HIV positive, finding love with other people who are HIV positive, well, then you start finding all the other things that people might look for in apps, you know, for people meeting up with similar, let's just say interests. And that's as far in this story as I'm going to go. But let me tell you, there are loads of them, loads and loads and loads of apps out there for exactly this thing. I thought, well... I'm with you, Candy. On the one hand, anybody deserves to find
Look, love.
Happiness. You know,
even if it's just for a night.
I hope commitment would be my preference, not just a night. But, you know, on the other hand, there are so many that there can be literally multiple apps out there for doing exactly this one thing. And that doesn't seem like something that we ought to be celebrated. 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see. There's an Iranian weightlifter who was on the national team that was recently in a competition against an Israeli, and he lost, and he shook his hand, and he's now been banned from competition in Iran because Iran has a rule that you cannot touch the Jew. Let that sink in for a second. You're not supposed to acknowledge their existence. You're not supposed to, if they give you the award, you're not supposed to shake their hand when you receive the award from them. In 2021, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei told all competitors not to shake hands with a representative of the Israeli criminal regime to obtain a medal. He crossed one of the red lines of the Islamic Republic, and he's been sent off, and he's not allowed to compete anymore for Iran.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A Pensacola man is charged for allegedly burglarizing and damaging a store on campus.